Started here. Hey man, hope everybody's doing good this morning. It's Corey, I see you got some information there that you...
Yeah, because I forgot to give you yours and I made some corrections on it.
Okay.
And I cleared out my cell phone number, so when you're talking to people, you put your cell phone number on there and invite the church and they'll have the address from the church.
Thank you.
Know what
we're
about.
Okay, amen. Appreciate that. I will get one from you before I leave.
Yes.
That would be great. Guys, good morning. It's great to be back with you guys. I had a great time at the conference. It was great. It was very encouraging. Can't wait to the next one. You know, all kind of ideas. People are like, hey, we need to go to Australia. I'm like, I'm about to get my passport in order. Another person say, we need to have the next one in Toronto, Canada, Ontario. I'm like, there's a lot of passports here going on. So they got all kind of ideas about the next big one. So looking forward to the next big one and how that one's going to be. But it was a great time, an enjoyable time. You know, one thing I came away from there, a lot of things I came away from that conference learning was about just hope. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about, you know, building your hope. And we've always got to build our hope. Always got to have hope in everything. Good morning to Zoom land. Hope you put yourself on mute out there. It's good morning. Make sure everybody's good out there.
Good.
Anyway, guys, definitely talking about building your hope. And so what is hope? We got to think about what is hope. Well, it is faith in the future tense, believe it or not, because you're always hoping for something to come true
right.
In the future, or hoping to see something happen in the future. That's what hope is. Hope is about man. It is faith in the future tense. What do I build my hope on? That's the next question we have. Christ. Why do I build my hope on Christ? Why do I build my hope on a Savior, on Jesus, or as we call him, Hosanna, which means rescuer? Because he is our hope of glory and the glory of our hope. How do I build my hope? And so we're going to start over in 1 Peter chapter 1 about how do I build my hope? Because hope is so much and so badly needed in our generation and in our culture. It is needed in the next generation coming behind us. I tell you, I was amazed, and I was only there for the leadership part, and just amazed at some of this, the people there and the conversations I had, and just to see old faces and old friends, it's like, it was so encouraging that it really built my hope up. And that is a part of building your hope up. You see that there are people who are still faithful to God and God's kingdom. That is so much. And over in 1 Peter, how do I build my hope up? 1 Peter, verse 13, it says, chapter 1, verse 13, it says, therefore, with minds that are alert, some of them say preparing your mind, that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming.
Amen.
How do I build my hope? Part one, I got to prepare my mind.
That's right.
And if I'm going to prepare my mind, I've got to set my mind on the right person or the right thing. I've got to make sure my mind is focused in the right direction. Prepare my mind takes intentional action.
Yes.
You have to have intentional action about going after God, going after what is eternal, what will not perish, what has overcome the world. You must prepare your mind to go after the Savior. You know, what I feed my mind will determine the outcome of my hope.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the question is, what are you feeding your mind? That is the question. What are you feeding your mind?
Yeah.
Where's something, you know, what worldly poisons are you feeding your mind?
Come on.
The world is just packing so much stuff in.
Yeah.
You get so inundated. You get so overwhelmed that the lines become blurred between what's righteous and what's unrighteous.
Yeah.
And you start to entertain more of the world's dialogue, I call it the world's theology. And you start to like,
maybe that does make sense from a world's point of view. Maybe that is the right way. But that doesn't build hope.
No.
Because the world is always at each other's throat.
You must be aware of what you are consuming daily and the amount of it that you are. There is an old commercial from the 80s, and some of us are going to get this, that would say, mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Yes. Yes.
There's a lot of mind being wasted today, sad to say.
Yeah.
The question is, what are the things of the world that you are wasting your mind on?
Come on.
You know, even in this conference, I heard people talk about news. News. One person put it this way, and I said, that is so true. He says, the news is so bad, he says, it's like sewage. Just pouring out. It's just sewage. Because it just diminishes all hope. It's one crisis after another crisis. One dramatic drama or trauma after another. It's just disaster after disaster after disaster, conflict after conflict after conflict, and nothing's being resolved.
Right.
It says it's just sewage. You know, the world's theology, it breeds fear, which breeds hopelessness, which breeds despair. It usually ends up breeding depression.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people who are suffering from depression. And disciples are not immune to that.
No, sir.
No, sir.
We're not immune to that. It was great at that conference. One of the things we're seeing in the Tate Ministry, when you go there, the Tate Ministry is old school. I'm saying book ministry for some of us. Tate Ministry is old school because everything was on the little cassette tape.
Yes, I remember.
The little cassette tape. That's the 80s thing. If you don't get that, the cassette tape. it was great to see how our church has evolved.
Yes.
And we've grown and that we're open to growing. There were so many mental health booths there. I was like,
wow.
There were mental health booths everywhere. People were meant to have schools, professors, doctors, just mental health booths, encouraging, helping the church to break that stigma. It's like, man, this is amazing. I went to the table and talked to the ladies. I mean, this is like, I'm just like, wow. It's just not our book ministry. No, there's mental health booths around. I saw hope in that because I saw hope for people who are struggling to help. And one person said, you know, they say, you know, the church has always been like, you just need to go to God and that'll be all right. You just need to go to God. And they said, but what we weren't getting was that God is trying to let you know, I have raised up doctors and trained them.
Yes. Yeah.
No, they don't know it all, but I'm giving them enough information and tools to help.
That's right.
But in our pride as a church, we hurt ourselves and we hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yep.
We diminished their hope. But that was great. That inspired me. Like, look at all the mental health things around here. It was a great, cool thing.
Amen.
You know, building your hope is about preparing your mind. And I thought at the conference, they did a great job in that particular area with mental health. That's really letting people know, we're here for you. They brought in outside people, outside of our fellowship, to bring things to us to help us.
Come on.
That's different. I was like, wow, look at us grow. But it gives me hope to see us bridging with the community, to see us understanding the needs of the members in the church, that yes, God is everything that we need, but God is going to use the very men and women. He has allowed them to acquire this education, this training, and this experience. He's going to use them to meet your needs.
Yes.
Praise God.
Building hope.
Praise God.
Building hope is about preparing your mind, being alert and fully sober. There's a scripture that says in Romans 12:2, you don't have to turn there, but we're all too familiar with Romans 12:2. And in building your hope, something you have to do. It says, Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Preach it.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, if you're going to build your hope, you have to stop conforming to the pattern of this world.
That's right.
You have to stop buying in to what the world is selling.
Come on, man.
You're going to have to separate yourself from the world. You must understand, although you live in the world, you are not to be of the world.
Right.
That's what you got to understand. When you renew your mind and abandon the theology of this world, you will build your hope up. Going on to Colossians 1, you know, we think about building my hope up. There's other ways too, and other things that you realize you have to build your hope up. Tools you have to use to build your hope up. Things that you have to put in place. Actions that you have to take to build your hope up. And one of those things, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2, it speaks to that. It speaks to that about the things that we must do to build our hope up. And I can quote this thing all day, but let's go get it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ.
That's true.
If you're going to build your hope up, you cannot allow the world to take you captive.
Well,
when you are taken captive by the world, you are a prisoner.
Yep.
You are not your home. You belong to the world and its influences. You know, something I learned at one of the leadership things that I thought was very impactful, and I shared it on the text, but it says, we are almost always motivated by self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
It says we have 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day.
Mm.
I paused for a minute, and believe it or not, I was like, I'm trying to count thoughts and see what I'm thinking. I said, somebody pick up an idiot. I'm like, I'm 60,000 for my thoughts. I'm like, are you really going to do this all day right now and everything you're thinking about? You know? But things like this intrigue me. It says 80% of these thoughts are negative.
Said, right.
That's true. We can be very negative in our thinking, which creates a sense of hopelessness. So how can we escape this trap of repetitive, negative thinking? We're going to have to take captive of our thoughts.
That's right.
We're going to have to take control of our thoughts. And the way we're going to be able to take control of our thoughts is that we're going to have to depend on God.
Yes.
Not on human traditions. We're really going to have to lean into God, lean into His Word, lean into His promises. We're going to have to lean into God if we want to take captive our thoughts.
That's right.
Because if you do not take control or take captive of your thoughts, then the world will through its human traditions and its philosophy. You know, being a good steward, or as we say stewardship, that's an amazing responsibility and a great thing.
Yep.
And part of being a great steward is you have to make the choice to protect your mind.
Yes.
Stewardship begins with you taking care of yourself. But so long we always talk about stewardship is about finances and money. But it goes far beyond that. You know, before money comes into the picture, you got to make sure you're in order. You got to make sure that you are mentally and emotionally and spiritually in order.
Yes.
Make sure the house is running well.
Yeah.
The money is no good if the house is not running well.
That's right.
You know, we must capture these thoughts. We must capture these negative thoughts and terminate them. You have to. You have to capture those negative thoughts and terminate them. I will not think about that. I will not have nothing to do with that.
Amen.
Boy, I love when I talk to some people. I don't claim that. I just don't claim that. There are certain things you claim, and there are certain things you should not be claiming. And one of those things is negative thoughts. You know, they say fear is the beginning of a frightful mind.
Yep.
From things that we imagine and make up. That's why it's so true. We can be fearful of something. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. But we done played out a whole scenario in our mind. And therefore, we're feeding this, and it's killing our hope.
Mm-hmm.
Negative thinking will kill your hope. You must stop buying into the philosophy of the world, the deceptions, the hollowness, the man-made traditions, and the spiritual forces that are at work in this world.
Yep.
These things represent hope killers. Turn me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. These represent hope killers. I want to share a story of hope that I heard at the conference.
Come on, bro.
I was just like, man, it is like, amen, amen, blew me away. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. I want to share a story with you that I heard. Just amazing. Just amazing. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible.
Amen.
To the Jews, I became like a Jew.
Amen.
to win what? The Jews.
That's right.
To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under that law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law.
Right.
So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that all possible means I might save some.
Yes.
I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing.
Amen.
It's powerful. Great story heard at the conference. You know, even reading scripture, this just makes me look at the church as a whole, how we're becoming, even though a lot of us may not suffer with mental health or mental health issues, we're becoming that to the mental health community.
Amen.
But it was a story shared, and I was just blown away. I was like, wow, that's amazing. So there's a sister who's married to a brother, and of course she was faithfully coming to church constantly. And she wanted her husband to come, but he had no interest. Had no interest in God, nothing like that. And so the brothers always reached out to him, talked to him. You know, he come to, you know, the bits and everything, do the normal, but would never commit. And so one brother decided to say, I'm going to connect with this brother, connect with this man, this is sister's husband. And so this sister's husband, what he did, he ran marathons. Now, we ain't talking about 5Ks, he ran marathons. And so one of the brothers said, I'm going to start running marathons with him. Now, I had to think about that. I was like, you know, it's like 26 miles. Jesus, I love you. I hope this brother gets saved. I'm like, wow. So this guy decided, in order to win him over, I'm going to become a marathon runner.
Wow.
Man, I wonder what he did. Shake my head or whatever. But anyway, he started running marathons with him, and they developed a great relationship, and over time,
Amen. Amen.
Because her brother decided to become a marathon runner. I was like, that's amazing. So after he became a disciple, sometime along the way, he found out he had cancer.
Wow.
It was terminal. And so for this brother here who became a disciple, it was great. But the way the guy shared on stage, like, wow, just showing how this life is just passing away. Let's say he went from running the marathons to running 5Ks, staying up for 3 miles. From running 5Ks to walking 5Ks, from walking 5Ks to running around this block, from running around this block to walking around the house to just actually going from retirement to the bed, just slowly diminishing away. But one of the hope about it, this was, and this was what really, really, really amazed me, this was that brother said, you know, I had a chance to spend time with him before he died, or 3 days before he died. And the brother said, look, when you get to heaven, would you mind, you know, asking Jesus about this prayer? I've been praying for this 10 years. And would you mind asking Jesus about this? And of course, he said, yeah. So the brother ended up passing away. He says some days later, his prayer got answered.
Wow.
Oh, I was like, wow.
God.
I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, I was like, get my hands up too. I was like, you know, and so, It just blew my mind to hear them share that about like that. And of course, the running joke was saying in the ministry after that happened, our disciples were around, we need to find somebody to die now. I said, that sounds like us. Are you down? Are you down? When you get there, when you tell Jesus, I need to.
You know.
we always gonna find a way to get it in there. I know you're dying, but you might take this with you. But it was hilarious. But it was just such great hope. So I had this person just really poured himself out, become a marathon runner to win this other person over. He became a disciple, and there's hope in all that, you know. So that was just so amazing to hear that, guys. We're gonna close out. We're gonna say back in Colossians. Chapter 3, we're going to stay there and everything. And in Colossians chapter 3, finally, to build your hope up, you must get God-centric.
That's right.
So key. And centric means just God must be the center of everything. Must be the center of everything of who you are. And so in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, if you're there, it says, you get there. All right, it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You know, if you are going to build your hope, you have to set your mind on God. You have to set your mind on Jesus. And they are above everything that is happening in this world. You have to set your minds on the right thing. You know, the world can give you no hope. You really have to take hold of that.
That's right.
That's right.
You have to take hold of that. The world can give you no hope. Now, the world can give you a ton of despair. It can give you a lot of despair. You're like, hopeless. The world can give you everything that's just like, it ain't going to work out. And it just, the world can just be very selfish. You know, Aaron was sharing with me. So my oldest son, Aaron, you know, he's a roadrunner. He went to Key West. Him and friends left out like last Wednesday or something like that. And they came back Sunday and they drove that 17-hour straight down to Key West. And went down for a few days and drove that 17-hour straight back and then went to work. I said, woo! Boy, you can have it. You can have it. But he was sharing with me about his experience in Key West and in Miami, how, like, he said, they're just very rude on the road. And he said, you're driving, and there's a concrete barrier, and you're behind a car, another car. And he said, I looked at this guy, and this guy looked at me. And then this guy decided he's just going to merge in on me. And I'm like, I can't go nowhere. That's a concrete barrier. And he said, they literally forced their way into your lane.
Yeah.
So either you're going to make contact with their car, or you're going to stop and let them have the space that they want.
What?
They're not asking. He said, they're forcing. He said, when you get to Miami, he said, Miami has like three lanes, and like the third lane is like a parking lane now. It's like a drivable lane. It's just that. It's a parking lane. And he said, they do the same thing in Miami. So you could be driving, and he said, like, they will shift on you, and you're going to let it happen. You're not going to fight against it. And he says, he'd never seen no driving like that before in his life. So he can't wait to get back to Mississippi. But it just shows you where the world is at. Even on the road, Aaron said, it's just that part of the country, as beautiful as it may look, he said, it's just dangerous driving down there. You know, this earth cannot build up your hope. You have to realize that. This earth cannot build up your hope.
That's right.
There is no continent on the planet of earth that can build up your hope. Only God can give you hope.
Yep.
That's right.
This is only Jesus can build up your hope.
Come on, Sydney.
You got to realize that. If you're going to build your hope up, you have to realize that you must set your mind on things above and know that only God can give you hope and only Jesus can build up your hope. If you set your minds on God, the Father, the creator of everything, on Jesus, the King, the Savior of us all, you'll be able to terminate your negative thoughts.
Yes.
You just will. You'll be able to terminate all your negative thoughts. You'll be able to abandon the world and its philosophy and its influences. You will be able to do that. You will be able to live an amazing life for the remainder of time that you're here and impact people from generation to generation to generation. I had the privilege of listening to Al Beard speak. Him and Pat Gimble got on stage. And it was amazing, shared a little bit. And then afterwards, I was in the back, somewhere in the back of this large crowd, talking. And me and JD was talking. We were talking health-wise. And here come Al Beard by us. I swear, man, you thought he was a marathon runner himself. That old man, 88, was moving. And we're just looking like, I hope to be like that. I hope to be like this man. Yes, he was going. Hope to be like this man, you know. That built up my hope. To show me that when I get old, I don't have to be bent over. I don't have to be decayed. I'm really trying to figure out that it is possible for me to walk around like this 88-year-old man running around. Jack is in his 70, still running around. Tom, still running around. I'm looking at all these old people, they're like, Tom's in great shape. You know, we're like, my goodness, that gives me hope to let me know that I could be like that. That's a part of my hope being built up. Even though I go through the health challenges and we all going through all the medication and everything, these guys let me know, you know what? You can be like this. There's hope in this. But if you listen to the world said, no, we need to put you on this ventilator, this, that, and we just need to die, you know, wrong stuff. You know, if you set your mind on them, terminate your negative thoughts, abandon the world, center your life around God, and build your hope on Jesus, you will be a successful person in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Not in the world, in the kingdom of God. You will be a successful disciple who can become all things to everybody. Even if the Lord says, you're going to be a marathoner for the next 6 months. You can be there. If you put your focus on God, who, guess what? Who is the creator and gives you hope, and Jesus who builds your hope, you will be able to take captive of every thought, terminate every thought. You will be able to prepare your man for action and at all times be fully sober so that you can not only be a hope builder, but you can be a beacon of light and a hope to the person coming behind you.
That's right.
For our God be the glory. Thank you guys so much.
Amen.